Christ is risen.
We get this far through Easter and we have a tendency to go back to everything we know, and we forget that very fact that our Savior is risen from the dead. Today, as we gather, we continue celebrating that, our order of service, divine service 4, and we, during the season of Easter, have an extra hymn right after the gospel reading. So during the after the gospel, please be seated. We'll sing that hymn, and then we'll go on with the Apostles' Creed after that. As we gather today, our opening hymn, number 523. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered here to hear God's word, call upon his name in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sing to the Lord a new song, alleluia, for he has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations, alleluia. His He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Sing to the Lord a new song, Alleluia, for he has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations, Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we might love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Easter from Isaiah, the 12th chapter. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, and your might comforts me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review is printed in the center of your bulletin. We read together the third article of the Apostles' Creed, Sanctification. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. The epistle reading from St. James, the first chapter. Do not be deceived, my brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand as we sing together the gospel. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess together this morning the words of our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I think we'll continue with the hymn number 463. You may be seated. Realized I missed that. We'll have the children's sermon. You guys want to come up and join me? Oh, we got a good crowd here this morning. How's everybody doing today? Good, good, good. So in the gospel text that I read earlier today, from the Gospel of John, there was something in there about, Jesus talks about this, we hear these words called comforter or helper, okay? Now when you guys think of comfort, something comfortable for you, what do you think of? Maybe I'll help you out with this a little bit. Like, what's your favorite? We talk about comfort food sometimes. What's your favorite food to eat that makes you feel really good? Like, mine is still like macaroni and cheese. I love macaroni and cheese. Still one of my favorite comfort foods. How about you? Tacos. Okay. Elizabeth? Crab legs and steak. All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we talk about, now how about do you guys like on your bed? Let me ask you a question. Do you have on your bed a favorite blanket that you like to sleep with? Maybe a favorite stuffed animal or something like that? Yeah? Yeah. An animal blanket that's your favorite? Yeah. Dusty? Yeah, okay.
I have a bunk bed on top, and I'm on the top, and I have like the biggest blanket in my family that
has
a duck on it.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah.
I have a squishmallow.
Okay. I think I know what that is. Yeah. 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 It probably makes you feel really comfortable, right? Now, let's talk about the Holy Trinity here for a minute, all right? So in the Trinity, what do we have? What three persons in the Godhead do we have of the Trinity? What are they? Help me out. The first one is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, Jesus was telling the disciples in our text for today that he said that the Holy Spirit, he would send, when Jesus went into heaven and when he went away and he left the disciples, he promised that he would send them the Helper. Other words that we have for the Holy Spirit are the Comforter, okay? Another big word that they use sometimes for the Holy Spirit is the Advocate, but that means too that he's one who's always an advocate. He's always praying for us. He's always taking care of us and all of these things. So, the Holy Spirit, okay, now you guys received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you know where you received the Holy Spirit? There we go, right there in your baptism. That's right. You received the promised Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that was given to the disciples is the same Spirit that's given to us in our baptism. Now, if you guys look at, you get these and you see this lesson for lambs, if you ever look at these, I don't know if you ever look at them back there, but look at this symbol that we have here on the front.
That's the bird that went with the ship.
Mm-hmm. With the ship, but okay, so can you guys look around in here real quick, and do you see this symbol anywhere? It may be missing this part of it here down at the bottom, but do you see it anywhere? There's one there. And sometimes the Holy Spirit, if you guys all look over here on this stained glass right over here, sometimes the Holy Spirit is also depicted with fire. So do you see that? Do you see the bird, the dove? And then we also see fire there. All right. Now, the Holy Spirit is the Helper for us, which means he does what? What does he do for us? Can we see the Holy Spirit?
No.
No, but... But we have, Holy Spirit's here with us, and he's with you, and he's in you because you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he helps us to do better. Do you guys want to do better?
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that the Holy Spirit does is he confesses our sins. That means the Holy Spirit helps us to see our sin. But then it just doesn't stop there, because the Holy Spirit points us back to the cross and the hope that we have because Jesus suffered and died for us. That's a great thing that you and I have, the gift and the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus promises that this Holy Spirit will be with us and he will lead us and guide us and direct us all the days of our lives until we go to be with Jesus. This is the promised Holy Spirit that you guys received in the waters of your baptism. So when you go around church today, maybe when you're back there in the fellowship hall and elsewhere, see if you can find more symbols that look like this, because this is the picture of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit in the Trinity. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit who guides and directs us and leads us in all things and comforts us to know that you died on the cross for us. And you saved us from our sins. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys. I believe we continue with the sermon hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, what do you think here today? I mean, I'm preaching on this text today here in John. And we look at this, and it seems to me, when I look at it anyway, that the disciples have some sort of separation anxiety. You know, typically this is something that we'll see. It's more common, we would say, in children or infants, but really, I think we see it more prevalent in our world today with adults, but I would say certainly that we're seeing it here today as we read this text in John. And how is separation anxiety, what does this look like? Well, it's caused by constant worry that something bad will happen, the fear of being alone. This can also be manifested physically, of course. All of these things that happen in our minds can affect us with digestive problems, heart issues, high blood pressure, all of these things. So, in the text for today, I believe that the disciples are experiencing this, some separation anxiety. What are they going to do? Where are they going to go? Because Jesus keeps telling them that he's going to go away. They don't like hearing those words. And Jesus, in this text, also gives them comforting words, but they're unable to hear them because they're so filled with sorrow and dread that that's the only thing that they can think about and worry about, is that Jesus is leaving. We saw in this same chapter last week in the reading that Jesus said, he was telling them, don't fear, don't worry, you will see me again. I'm going to go away, but you will see me again. This is comfort for you and I, dear saints, because we know that as he's ascended into heaven, he promises to return to us. But they don't even hear in the text today, they don't ask him where he's going. They still don't do this. If his future welfare, they're not concerned about any of that, because the fact is that they can't look past their own nose. They're so curved in on themselves and their own concerns and their own sorrow that they're not paying attention to anything else. If the panic attacks haven't occurred yet with them, I'm sure they're coming. Because as they would see Jesus, that he would be beaten and nailed to a tree to suffer and die, undoubtedly we would react in the same way. Not to ask where he's going or to his future welfare, all of these things. But Jesus tells them here in the text today, dear saints, that it is to their advantage that he goes away. It's as if he's saying, guys, if you think this has been good while I've been here with you, just wait until I send my helper to you. It's going to be even better. And Christ, because he is now ascended into heaven, he has the power and authority. He has access to all of that. And he will make use of that power by sending his Holy Spirit into the world. It's as if, also as if Jesus is saying to them, if I don't go away, nothing is going to change for you. This all must take place. These things must happen so that I can send the Comforter to you. Jesus, of course, is speaking of the work of the Holy Spirit, that he will come, he says in the text here, because of sin, the world that stands accused and cannot deny the charge that they do not believe because they willingly choose unbelief. And the chief sin of the world is to reject Christ and his gospel. But for those who believe and are baptized into Christ this morning, dear saints, that's you and I, our sins don't come into consideration here because we have been redeemed. We have been bought by the precious blood of Christ. So unbelief, which refuses to accept the gospel and forgiveness of sins, it cuts itself off from the free gift of salvation. The Holy Spirit comes because of righteousness, Jesus says, because Jesus is now going to the Father. True righteousness consists in his suffering, in his death, and his resurrection earned and prepared. This is the righteousness which is acceptable to God. Well, guess what? You and I have attained that righteousness. We have his righteousness imputed, that is placed upon us because of what he has done. The Holy Spirit, Jesus goes on to say, comes in judgment and testifies to the hearts of unbelievers, showing them that they are rejected because they have rejected the one who conquered sin, death, and the devil. And this serves as comfort for us, saints, because the world is convicted of sin. And that Holy Spirit continues to work in you and me as we see our sin and we continue to see our need for the Savior who forgives us our sins. It appears from these words that Jesus speaks, he's saying here that those who have the Holy Spirit are going to benefit even more than the disciples did who had the personal Lord Jesus with them in the flesh when he was here serving them in the form of a servant. Jesus says this. He goes on and he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Holy Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. But the disciples, they're checked out. They can't bear to hear any more of this at this time because their minds are so clouded by the fact that Jesus has said, I'm leaving you and I'm going away. Well, this morning we confessed our Christian faith in the Apostle Creed, and within that we confessed the third article, which reminds us how you and I came to saving faith through the work of this promised Holy Spirit. And in the explanation, we began with these words. The truncated version of it is, I believe, I can't believe. We can't come to believe in Jesus in and of ourselves through our own will or powers. Ephesians 2 says, Paul says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Dead men can't come back from the grave in and of their own powers. We can't do anything for ourselves. Cannot resurrect ourselves. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, Paul tells us in Romans 10. We come to saving faith through the preaching of the gospel and the Holy Spirit bearing witness to us through that preaching. Peter tells us, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. The Holy Spirit again, dear saints, working through that word on your behalf. We're enlightened then through the gifts of his word and the signs of the church, that is baptism and the Holy Supper. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us, that is, continues to strengthen our faith in and through these gifts, increasing fruit in our lives, giving you the desire to do better. For the Holy Spirit enables us and helps us to live good lives, to do good, to serve our neighbor. But the fact is, often we fall short because of sin, the battle that we're still engaged in on this side of eternity. But the fruit that we bear in keeping with repentance is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. As St. Paul tells us in Galatians, Jesus says in John, he says, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. We didn't make a decision for Christ. We didn't have to work or earn his grace in some way. No, this is great news because he chose us through the gift and promise of his Holy Spirit. It's not about us, but it's about the one who suffered and died and rose again to free us from our bondage to sin. What do we do in this life then? How do we live out our lives? Well, we're doing part of that here this morning. Each time we gather and worship, we're corporately proclaiming Christ's death and resurrection until he returns, actively seeking out and being with other believers and worshiping together. And you hearing once again for you that you have been declared righteous by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians tells us, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 3 says, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ is for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I mentioned this last week, and I'm saying it again, that it's so easy for us to turn inward on ourselves, just like we see the disciples here doing today. And as we see the things that bring us sorrow and create fear for us and all of these other things in the world, and we see all of these things happening, what do? We turn inward on ourselves and we take our eyes off of the one who has saved us and redeemed us and called us by name. And he says, you are my child and you belong to me. I've made you my own. But in our despair, like the disciples, we are unable sometimes to see the risen Savior because we're so focused only on ourselves. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples here this morning in our text, saints. He said, it is to your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come to you. In your baptism, you have the promised Holy Spirit. And this is of the greatest benefit for you. You've heard it again this morning, the great comfort and the hope that you have in this gospel, able to set you free from your sin. What we have in this time of the church until eternity is even better than if Jesus was here with us as he was with the disciples, for he has sent his Spirit to us. And we, as disciples of Christ, have the promises of his word, which tell us to continue to trust his Holy Spirit to guide and direct us in all things, so that this always bears witness to the truth that is found in our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. We understand then the significance and the bearing of Christ's righteousness by his Holy Spirit for us. His suffering and death on the cross was for your benefit. His rising again and ascending back to the Father, this too is to your benefit. For the Spirit continues to bear witness to you that you belong to Christ, and nothing is ever going to change that. You are his own dear child. Today, let your sorrow be turned to joy. Let your mourning be turned into dancing. Salvation is won for you, accomplished for you on the cross. And the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, will continue to strengthen you in all things until that day comes when you, with your own eyes, will see the one, your Savior, who by his grace forgave you your sins and gave you that gift of eternal salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Please stand as we come to our Savior in prayer. Gracious Lord, you have revealed your righteousness in the sight of the nations, Christ Jesus, your holy arm. By his death and his resurrection, you have worked salvation. Strengthen the song of your church. Give skill to the musicians and the poets, and boldness to your congregation, that in this and every place we sing the eternal songs of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, you have promised the gift of your Holy Spirit to make known to us all truth, and to keep us in your word, O Lord. Grant to us faithful pastors who will teach your word, and devoted church workers who will serve us in your name. Bless those preparing for church work vocations, especially Morgan, as he has received his assignment to be a vicar. We pray, Father, for all of the new pastors that have received calls, and we ask that you would continue to give patience and diligence to the congregations that have called from the seminary and did not receive a pastor. Strengthen them, Father, in the promise that you will continue to be with them. Lord, in your mercy. Father of lights, every good and perfect gift comes down from you. By your Spirit, put away from our families and communities every hasty word, together with all filthiness and rampart wickedness. And instead, give us patience and humility toward our neighbors. Since you have brought us forth by the word of your truth, so let us speak truthfully with one another in meekness as beloved brothers. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, your Son acknowledged Satan as ruler of this world and its ways, yet one whose reign is judged and whose time is short. Beat back his lies and deadly work, that in order of your creation, we may see your love and your good for us. Grant to us good government and good leaders who are both honest and faithful. Even so, let us look eagerly for your Son's return, and let us wait for the day when our Lord comes again. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we pray that you would be with those who are struggling and suffering and who have requested our prayers on behalf of their strength and their healing. We pray, Father, today for Marcia and Tracy, for Joy, Daryl, and Glenda. Be with Ron and Joel, Gunner, Pastor Bertel, Leanne, June, Jim, Wally and Marlene, and Mel. Uphold Deanna and Marna, Rob and Emily, Dave and Sherry, Ashley, Dana, Colleen, Connie, and Karen. Be with Linda and Willa, Jenny and Warren, and all of those who are struggling and recovering. Lord, in your mercy. We pray, Father, that you would uphold the family and the friends of Barry Severson, that you would be with the Wempen and the Frost families. We ask, Father, that you would keep their eyes focused on the resurrection, that knowing that those who die in faith rise to be with you will give joy even in the midst of their sadness. We celebrate today those you have called into your kingdom through your Holy Spirit in the gift of baptism. This week, Father, we celebrate with Dave Lundeen, Levi Reiprick, Karen Bartling, Mel Geidel, Ruth Reynolds, and Gary Vermanson. Lord, send your Holy Spirit upon your faithful people, that convicted of their sin, they might also be convicted that righteousness of Christ is theirs, and in such repentance and faith, receive the things of Christ declared in his Holy Supper, his body, his precious blood for us, for the forgiveness of sins. Unite us by your Spirit of truth and faith and in the confession of your word, and comfort us with the knowledge that this world's prince is already judged. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Father, sorrow filled the hearts of the 12 at a thought of Christ's ascension. Help us rather to rejoice that he sits on the throne of heaven and reigns among his saints and his angels. Comfort us in this communion of saints until the last day when we join with them in your glory. Lord, in your mercy. All of these things, and whatever else you know we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we receive the offering. Please stand as we continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. By his death he has redeemed us from the bondage of sin and death, and by his resurrection he has delivered us into new life in him. Grant us to keep the feast in sincerity and truth, faithfully eating his body into his death and drinking his life's blood poured out for our salvation until we pass through death to the promised land of eternal life. Hear us as we pray in his name as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, On the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Body of Christ, given and shed for you. Thank you.
Please stand as we continue with the Nunc Dimittis. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
We have some orphan Easter lilies over there that need a home, and they would look really good in your garden, so please take them. That's the last remains of them serving us so well for that. And in the back between services, we continue working through the Lord's Prayer. The question for you is your forgiveness dependent on you forgiving others? Right in the center of the Lord's Prayer. We'll unpack that today. Go in His peace.